from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
How they're going to negotiate how far the product's going to go before the guys in Miami pick it up. 14 a key, I go as far as Panama. And then Sosa goes, Panama, cost me more. We got those E-2s, the radars, got the attack helicopters. It's no duck walk, man. So, I'm sorry. That's Scarface Theater here on Dukes and Bell. As we talk to Dial-Up, Lauren Williams from the AJC is going to join us in just a second. But anyway, great time today, great crowd. And tomorrow, guys, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Going to be a blast. Still specials. By the way, for our visitors that are here, beers on special. You get 5 of these for $16. It's a value at twice the price. I'm just saying. Yeah, get in on that, man, with our Cerveza Victoria. These guys presenting sponsors today for Copa America. And then the big match, if they help, provided they get by Panama, although no score just yet. A big match with Uruguay coming up. Hey, man, we appreciate the feedback. A lot of guys hitting us up feeling that, you know, it's not to knock on the Hawks because you can't – look – we can say, Chris, that we're anticipating them not to do much, but they haven't not done it yet. We got next week to see if they're going to do it or not do it. And a woman who covers this team, and generally she does her job while they're not doing theirs. It's Lauren Williams from the AJC. She joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Lauren, any big mystery, or you thought it was Reese Hachette all along?
I don't know if I would say it was a mystery. I think towards the end you could kind of see the writing on the wall that it was him. It was going to be Zachary Reese-Hachette and maybe some of those other guys that were thrown in the mix. Not necessarily Sarr, but you know, your Donovan Clingens and your Reed Shepherds were kind of the smoke screens a little bit to maybe throw people off the scent. But I mean, when you go back to the fact that they went to France really shortly after they won the pick, I mean, maybe that was the writing on the wall to tell us that Reese-Hachette was the guy that they were going to go with.
What do you think the expectation level could be for him in year one? I mean, we've seen what he can do with the ball. We've seen that he can shoot. But how easily do you think that translates to the NBA?
Well, I think it helps when you have some veteran guards in both, you know, Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Obviously, we're still waiting to see whether it's going to be both of them, one of them, one of the other, whoever it is that's going to end up being there. But I think he's in a really, really good spot, especially when he can play off a guy like Jalen Johnson. I think that might help, especially because of his natural ability to get out in transition, his ability to cut to the basket, and we know that Jalen can pass the ball as well. So I think he has several guys around him that can help build him up. But I don't think the expectation is that, you know, he's going to be this ultimate scorer right out of the gate. I think they're going to have some things that they need to figure out. But I think the way that he kind of earns his minutes, like any rookie, is to play defense. And we know that in the past, Quinn Snyder has been hesitant to play rookies and you know, have them be out there so young. But with him being the first overall pick, there is going to be that expectation. So I definitely expect that he should be in the rotation, at least have some consistent minutes, just because, you know, for a guy to be making, what, $12 million plus in his rookie year to spend time in the G League, he's got to be out there. He's got to be developing, especially a player on the wing. And the faster they can get him out there and get him acclimated to the speed of the NBA, the better.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, covers the Hawks for the AJC with us here this hour of the show, by the way, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. The SAR thing, we banged on that drum all day yesterday and the day before, Lauren, because I just thought maybe, you know, we need size, we need athleticism, we need a rim protector, and maybe we'll try to address that in free agency. Maybe we still move off Capella. Do you think the SAR thing was ever close, or you think that once he and his group decided to not work out that was done?
Yeah, you know, I think in the 5 years of covering the draft that I have, it's one of those things where I kind of have to believe that he might have worked out with the Wizards prior to the Hawks and got some promises from the Wizards and assurances about how things would go and kind of like those under-the-table agreements, so to speak.
Right.
And once that was in place, that's when he kind of said, you know what, I'm happy with the situation that I might get in Washington, so I'm just going to decline the opportunity to work out with these teams. But, you know, you also hear some of the rumblings about him not necessarily being a fan of, you know, the city from his time at OTE. I personally have not heard that from him. We know he, you know, tried to debate it or denounce it or what's the word I'm trying to think of, deny it, that he didn't have any qualms about coming to Atlanta. But you have to kind of say maybe that played a role, especially because he's a guy that didn't necessarily spend a ton of time in the United States. So how would he know, you know, a bunch about a certain city except for Atlanta, which we know is one of the few places that he has some experience with? We know his brother is out in Oklahoma City. He plays for the G League team out there. And so he has a little bit of familiarity, but not that much. So how much different would you expect Washington to be than Atlanta? But I think by the time you see how things lined up on draft night with Wizards trading Denny Avdia to Portland, it kind of, the writing's on the wall. Again, I'm bringing up writing on the wall, but it's kind of there. It tells you that some of those, as I said, but under the table assurances, you know, they played out the way that they needed to so that they could sign their guy or draft their guy.
Lauren, Hawks wheeling and dealing today, making a couple of moves, sending away AJ Griffin, making some trades. They ultimately decide on Nikola Jurušić, 6'7", 210 from Serbia. He is a shooting guard. What do you think they see in him? What could he potentially bring?
I mean, I'm looking at it as, you know, more offense. I think that this team we saw had some trouble with consistent shooting, and it seems that they're trying to, you know, bolster that part of this team's offensive game. They did need some more consistent shooters. We saw that Bogey kind of struggled toward the end of the season, whether he was getting heavy legs from the extra minutes that he had to play with all of the injuries. You know, we saw DeJounte Murray kind of step up, and he was probably one of their more consistent shooters. Other than that, you saw that this team would have nights where they just couldn't seem to hit the bottom of the net. And so I think if they can find as many options as possible, we'll see. The other thing, though, that I'm hearing, and I believe it was either Adrian Wojnarowski or Bob Myers on ESPN mentioning something about them drafting and stashing him over in Europe, and I'm hearing that's something that they're still considering. They're not totally, you know, sure. I think they're going to go through the whole process of the mini camps before summer league, seeing how things play out at summer league and how he stacks up against other NBA players before they make that decision. But we'll see how that plays out, because he might not necessarily be on the roster come training camp in October.
Lauren Williams with us, guys. If you're just tuning in, of course, you know about Reese Hoshea, and we're just talking about the 14th pick in this round, which turns out to be a dude that from Serbia looks like a guy that is gone. Now, again,
another Nikola.
My question with Chris, we were talking about this earlier, I really thought A.J. Griffin had a shot. I just wonder that A.J. Griffin, I know there was some off-the-court stuff. You and I talked about this in the last conversation. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it fit the bill, shooting, the Duke pedigree, and now you wonder where. Hopefully he gets traction in Houston.
Yeah, you're going to have to hope. I think the thing is, it's that it was clear that he was having a hard time cracking the rotation, and now especially with Reese Hoshea in the mix, it's hard for you to see where those minutes will come from, particularly because they're developing Mo Gay into a player who can be one of those bigger wings. Obviously, we know he can play minutes at the center, but I think this team sort of envisions him as a, as that knockdown shooter on the wing that can guard some of those bigger forwards. You got Kobe Bufkin continuing to develop. Who knows what's going to happen with Seth Lundy once his injury, he's healed from that injury. We know he's not playing in summer league, so maybe the Hawks have some plans for him there. We still have no idea what's going to happen with free agency yet. We're still kind of pulling out the pieces on that. So I just think that the path to him getting playing time next season, it just ultimately just got harder with some of the moves that have been made so far. So it's better to allow a guy as young as AJ is. He's only turning 21 in September, just before training camp begins. So, like you said, you hope that he kind of catches on, and I think maybe Houston might be the right fit. He's got a lot of veterans around him who can maybe build him up and help pull him out of, you know, the mental struggles that maybe he was dealing with in Atlanta, and maybe he'll find a way there.
Lauren, when it comes to the timeline of the trade DeJounte decision, what are you hearing in terms of if the Hawks feel like this is something they need to do expeditiously?
You know, they're keeping their hearts really close to their chest. I'm still trying to figure, I think like all of us, we're still trying to figure out what it is that they're doing. I think, you know, they're going to see how the market kind of stacks up, especially with free agency coming up in a couple of weeks or a couple of days rather. And so I think the summer is where it's going to be hot. They're going to be in Vegas soon, talking to a lot of other GMs in person. And I think that's where you might see a little bit more of that negotiation happening.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, from the AJC. I know that we've talked so much about the luxury tax and our owner's aversion to getting in there. I mean, yes, technically you could spend your way out of it, but they're not going to do that. So the exception we talked about with the John Collins trade, do you feel that will be utilized? I mean, it expires, what, July 7th, I believe.
Yeah, they're running out of time, and so maybe that's something that they factor into one of those deals to move one of those guys. Of course, moving one of those guys opens up another trade exception that they're going to have a whole year to use, but I really do think they're still going to be looking kind of at what the market. We know that they have a guy like Donovan Mitchell who's still negotiating with Cleveland. We know Darius Garland is still negotiating with Cleveland, and I think there are a lot of free agents that are going to be coming up on the market that maybe might be a little bit cheaper than the two backcourt guys that they have right now, who make up, what, $63 million between the two of them. So I think they're really on the phone negotiating right now. We saw, I believe it was Bobby Marks who talked about DeJounte having the better trade value just because he has a team-friendlier contract, and that might entice more people to pick up the phone and kind of check the pulse there and see what the Hawks are looking to get back. But it's just still hard for me to see a world where they might be able to get draft picks back for DeJounte Murray, even though he does have such a good contract. I mean, if they do get draft picks back, as we saw with what Denver was able to get from Charlotte for Reggie Jackson just a little bit ago, those three unprotected second round picks, I think that maybe is something that we could see from there, but it's still hard for me to see them getting multiple first-round picks back for DeJounte.
Lauren, when it comes to Trae Young, have you been able to gather anything, rumors or otherwise, about how he feels about this new timeline with the pick of number one at Reese Hoshea? They could have traded the pick for other picks. They could have traded the picks for a player. Do you feel like he's comfortable for the next several years growing with this new nucleus?
You know, I'm not sure about the next several years, but I think he understands that it would be unwise to rush things too much. I could anticipate that maybe he would give it at least, you know, one more year, especially working with Quinn Snyder to see how things unfold. I think he wants to see how free agency pans out. If he's the guy that's moved, then obviously he doesn't have to worry about the timeline in Atlanta, but if DeJounte is the guy that they move on from, who are they getting back in return? And maybe by the trade deadline, we see that his decision becomes a little bit more clear if he wants to stay here or if he subtly asks out. Though it's hard for me to see Trae Young being a guy that asks out just based on kind of what we've learned about him over these last six or so years. You know, he's very grateful to the organization, and so obviously he knows that he has only so long, especially since he's talked so strongly about winning, but I definitely think he would want to try and see how things are, at least for one more year, if he can.
Again, in a world where the owner gets in luxury tax, I had us signing Klay Thompson as a splash uncle and going to get Hartenstein from the Knicks, so we have some size in the front court. But none of that's going to happen, so don't even answer that question, Lauren. But, hey, we always appreciate your insight. Next week, hopefully we're talking about some money moves and trying to improve this roster and get out of this rut. Because Lauren deserves to recover a better team. She's so good at her job.
Damn right.
Thank you.
Fresh from Barclays. Thanks, Lauren. We love you, baby. That's our Lauren Williams from the AJC right there on the WadeFord.com hotline. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Talked about it earlier. We traded, again, a guy, AJ Griffin, I like, to get a guy that may get just drafted and stashed
from
the Balkans.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where he's going to fit in.
Or we could be dropping AJ's salary to get us into that. You know, that trade exception thing that Lauren says we probably still won't use.
Yeah, sure.
Although the first-round pick does cost some loot. You know, that's at some point you'd love – I mean, I know, I'm a broken record on this – to see wrestlers spend some loot. Live, guys, at Copa America, you're not going to believe what just has gone down in the first 35 minutes of USA-Panama. And it ain't good. We'll explain next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Dukes and Bell, we are live, hanging out at Hudson Grill. Everybody has head down to Mercedes-Benz for Copa America, USA taking on Panama, and there's no score. 20 minutes in. I always feel like Scarface. Again, I said this to you earlier, when I hear Panama, I just think when Tony and Omar Suarez are down there in Bolivia talking to Mr. Sosa. I got a hand to you. And they're talking about how they're going to negotiate how far the product's going to go before the guys in Miami pick it up. 14 a key. I go as far as Panama. And then Sosa goes, Panama. Cost me more. We got those E-2s, the radars, got the attack helicopters. It's no duck walk, man. So, I'm sorry. That's Scarface Theater here on Dukes and Bell. As we talk to Dial-Up, Lauren Williams from the AJC is going to join us in just a second. But anyway, great time today, great crowd. And tomorrow, guys, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Going to be a blast. Still specials. By the way, for our visitors that are here, beers on special, you get five of these for $16. It's a value at twice the price. I'm just saying. Yeah, get in on that, man, with our Cerveza Victoria. These guys presenting sponsors today for Copa America. And then the big match, if they help provide they get by Panama, although no score just yet. A big match with Uruguay coming up. Hey, man, we appreciate the feedback. A lot of guys hitting us up feeling that, you know, it's not to knock on the Hawks because you can't – look, we can say, Chris, that we're anticipating them not to do much, but they haven't not done it yet. We got next week to see if they're going to do it or not do it. And a woman who covers this team, and generally she does her job while they're not doing theirs, it's Lauren Williams from the AJC. She joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Lauren, any big mystery, or you thought it was Reese Hachette all along?
I don't know if I would say it was a mystery. I think towards the end you could kind of see the writing on the wall that it was him. It was going to be Zachary Reese Hachette and maybe some of those other guys that were thrown in the mix, not necessarily star, but you know, your Donovan Clingens and your Reed Shepherds were kind of the smoke screens a little bit to maybe throw people off the scent. But I mean, when you go back to the fact that they went to France really shortly after they won the pick, I mean, maybe that was the writing on the wall to tell us that Reese Hachette was the guy that they were going to go with.
What do you think the expectation level could be for him in year one? I mean, we've seen what he can do with the ball. We've seen that he can shoot. But how easily do you think that translates to the NBA?
Well, I think it helps when you have some veteran guards in both, you know, Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Obviously, we're still waiting to see whether it's going to be both of them, one or them, one or the other, whoever it is that's going to end up being there. But I think he's in a really, really good spot, especially when he can play off a guy like Jalen Johnson. I think that might help, especially because of his natural ability to get out in transition, his ability to cut to the basket, and we know that Jalen can pass the ball as well. So I think he has several guys around him that can help build him up. But I don't think the expectation is that, you know, he's going to be this ultimate scorer right out of the gate. I think they're going to have some things that they need to figure out. But I think the way that he kind of earns his minutes, like any rookie, is to play defense. And we know that in the past, Quinn Snyder has been hesitant to play rookies and you know, have them be out there so young. But with him being the first overall pick, there is going to be that expectation. So I definitely expect that he should be in the rotation, at least have some consistent minutes, just because, you know, for a guy to be making, what, $12 million plus in his rookie year to spend time in the G League, he's got to be out there. He's got to be developing, especially a player on the wing. And the faster they can get him out there and get him acclimated to the speed of the NBA, the better.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, covers the Hawks for the AJC with us here this hour of the show, by the way, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. The SAR thing, we banged on that drum all day yesterday and the day before, Lauren, because I just thought maybe, you know, we need size, we need athleticism, we need a rim protector, and maybe we'll try to address that in free agency. Maybe we still move off Capella. Do you think the SAR thing was ever close, or you think that once he and his group decided to not work out that was done?
Yeah, you know, I think in the 5 years of covering the draft that I have, it's one of those things where I kind of have to believe that he might have worked out with the Wizards prior to the Hawks and got some promises from the Wizards and assurances about how things would go and kind of like those under-the-table agreements, so to speak.
Right.
And once that was in place, that's when he kind of said, you know what, I'm happy with the situation that I might get in Washington, so I'm just going to decline the opportunity to work out with these teams. But, you know, you also hear some of the rumblings about him not necessarily being a fan of, you know, the city from his time at OTE. I personally have not heard that from him. We know he, you know, tried to debate it or denounce it or what's the word I'm trying to think of, deny it, that he didn't have any qualms about coming to Atlanta. But, you have to kind of say maybe that played a role, especially because he's a guy that didn't necessarily spend a ton of time in the United States. So how would he know, you know, a bunch about a certain city except for Atlanta, which we know is one of the few places that he has some experience with. We know his brother is out in Oklahoma City. He plays for the G League team out there. And so he has a little bit of familiarity, but not that much. So how much different would you expect Washington to be than Atlanta? But I think by the time you see how things lined up on draft night with Wizards trading Denny Avdia to Portland, the writing's on the wall. Again, I'm bringing up writing on the wall, but it's kind of there. It tells you that some of those, as I said, but under the table assurances, you know, they played out the way that they needed to so that they could sign their guy or draft their guy.
Lauren Hawks wheeling and dealing today, making a couple of moves, sending away A.J. Griffin, making some mm-hmm. trades. They ultimately mm-hmm. decide on Nikola Jurusic, 6'7", 210 mm-hmm. from Serbia. He is a shooting guard. What do you think they see in him? What could he potentially bring?
I mean, I'm looking at it as, you know, more offense. I think that right. this team we saw had some trouble with consistent shooting, and it seems that they're trying to, you know, bolster that part of this team's offensive game. They did need some more consistent shooters. We saw that Bogey kind of struggled toward the end of the season, whether he was getting heavy legs from the extra minutes that he had to play with all of the injuries. You know, we saw DeJounte Murray kind of step up, and he was probably one of their more consistent shooters. Other than that, you saw that this team would have nights where they just couldn't seem to hit the bottom of the net. And so I think if they can find as many options as possible, we'll see. The other thing, though, that I'm hearing, and I believe it was either Adrian Wojnarowski or Bob Myers on ESPN mentioning something about them drafting and stashing him over in Europe. And I'm hearing that's something that they're still considering. They're not totally, you know, sure. I think they're going to go through the whole process of the mini camps before summer league, seeing how things play out at summer league and how he stacks up against other NBA players before they make that decision. But we'll see how that plays out, because he might not necessarily be on the roster come training camp in October.
Lauren Williams with us, guys. If you're just tuning in, of course, you know about Reese Hoshea, and we're just talking about the 14th pick in this round, which turns out to be a dude that from Serbia looks like a guy that is gone. Now, again,
another Nikola.
But my question with Chris, we were talking about this earlier, I really mm-hmm. thought A.J. Griffin had a shot. I just mm-hmm. wonder that A.J. Griffin, I know there was some off-the-court stuff. You and I talked about this in the last conversation. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it fit the bill, shooting, the Duke pedigree, and now you wonder where. Hopefully he gets traction in Houston.
Yeah, you're going to have to hope. I think the thing is, it's that it was clear that he was having a hard time cracking the rotation, and now especially with Reese Hoshea in the mix, it's hard for you to see where those minutes will come from, particularly because they're developing Mo Gay into a player who can be one of those bigger wings. Obviously, we know he can play minutes at the center, but I think this team sort of envisions him as that knockdown shooter on the wing that can guard some of those bigger forwards. You got Kobe Bufkin continuing to develop. Who knows what's going to happen with Seth Lundy once his injury, he's healed from that injury. We know he's not playing in summer league, so maybe the Hawks have some plans for him there. We still have no idea what's going to happen with free agency yet. We're still kind of pulling out the pieces on that. So I just think that the path to him getting playing time next season, it just ultimately just got harder with some of the moves that have been made so far. So it's better to allow a guy as young as AJ is. He's only turning 21 in September, just before training camp begins. So, like you said, you hope that he kind of catches on, and I think maybe Houston might be the right fit. He's got a lot of veterans around him who can maybe build him up and help pull him out of, you know, the mental struggles that maybe he was dealing with in Atlanta, and maybe he'll find a way there.
Lauren, when it comes to the timeline of the trade mm-hmm. DeJounte decision, what are you hearing in terms of if the Hawks feel like this is something they need to do expeditiously?
You know, they're keeping their hearts really close to their chest. I'm still trying to figure, I think like all of us, we're still trying to figure out what it is that they're doing. I think you know, they're going to see how the market kind of stacks up, especially with free agency coming up in a couple of weeks or a couple of days, rather. And so I think the summer is where it's going to be hot. They're going to be in Vegas soon, talking to a lot of other GMs in person. And I think that's where you might see a little bit more of that negotiation happening.
It is Lauren Williams, guys, from the AJC. I know that we've talked so much about the luxury tax and our owner's aversion to getting in there. I mean, yes, technically you could spend your way out of it, but they're not going to do that. So the exception we talked about with the John Collins trade, do you feel that will be utilized? I mean, it expires, what, July 7th, I believe.
Yeah, they're running out of time, and so maybe that's something that they factor into one of those deals to move one of those guys. Of course, moving one of those guys opens up another trade exception that they're going to have a whole year to use, but I really do think they're still going to be looking kind of at what the market. We know that they have a guy like Donovan Mitchell who's still negotiating with Cleveland. We know Darius Garland is still negotiating with Cleveland, and I think there are a lot of free agents that are going to be coming up on the market that maybe might be a little bit cheaper than the two backcourt guys that they have right now, who make up, what, $63 million between the two of them. So I think they're really on the phone negotiating right now. We saw, I believe it was Bobby Marks who talked about DeJounte having the better trade value just because he has a team-friendlier contract, and that might entice more people to pick up the phone and kind of check the pulse there and see what the Hawks are looking to get back. But it's just still hard for me to see a world where they might be able to get draft picks back for DeJounte Murray, even though he does have such a good contract. I mean, if they do get draft picks back, as we saw with what Denver was able to get from Charlotte for Reggie Jackson just a little bit ago, those three unprotected second-round picks, I think that maybe is something that we could see from there, but it's still hard for me to see them getting multiple first-round picks back for DeJounte.
Lauren, when it comes to Trae Young, have you been able to gather anything, rumors or otherwise, about how he feels about this new timeline with the pick of number one at Reese Shea? They could have traded the pick for other picks. They could have traded the picks for a player. Do you feel like he's comfortable for the next several years growing with this new nucleus?
You know, I'm not sure about the next several years, but I think he understands that it would be unwise to rush things too much. I could anticipate that maybe he would give it at least, you know, one more year, especially working with Quinn Snyder to see how things unfold. I think he wants to see how free agency pans out. If he's the guy that's moved, then obviously he doesn't have to worry about the timeline in Atlanta, but if DeJounte is the guy that they move on from, who are they getting back in return? And maybe by the trade deadline, we see that his decision becomes a little bit more clear if he wants to stay here or if he subtly asks out. So it's hard for me to see Trae Young being a guy that asks out just based on kind of what we've learned about him over these last six or so years. You know, he's very grateful to the organization, and so obviously he knows that he has only so long, especially since he's talked so strongly about winning, but I definitely think he would want to try and see how things are at least for one more year if he can.
Again, in a world where the owner gets in the luxury tax, I had us signing Klay Thompson as a splash uncle and going to get Hartenstein from the Knicks so we have some size in the front court. But none of that's going to happen, so don't even answer that question, Lauren. But, hey, we always appreciate your insight. Next week, hopefully we're talking about some money moves and trying to improve this roster and get out of this rut. Because Lauren deserves to recover a better team. She's so good at her job.
Damn right.
Thank you.
Fresh from Barclays. Thanks, Laura. We love you, baby. That's our Lauren Williams from the AJC right there on the WaitForIt.com hotline. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Talked about it earlier. We traded, again, a guy, AJ Griffin, I like, to get a guy that may get just drafted and stashed
from
the Balkans.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where he's going to fit in.
Or we could be dropping AJ's salary to get us into that, you know, that trade exception thing that Lauren says we probably still won't use.
Yeah, sure.
Although the first-round pick does cost some loot. You know, that's at some point you'd love – I mean, I know, I'm a broken record on this – to see wrestlers spend some loot. Live, guys, at Copa America, you're not going to believe what just has gone down in the first 35 minutes of USA-Panama. And it ain't good. We'll explain next. Chris Thomas filling in for Carl today. We're live here at Hudson Grill, downtown Atlanta. After getting a little bit of rain, which we need here, I sound like my dad. It is sunshine in parts of the A. Traffic's going to be the story tonight. So if you're where you're at, you're fine. Presidential debate up at Techwood, not here at CNN Center, but up the road. It was down here. I couldn't even imagine with the match going on at Mercedes-Benz. Real quick, you're not going to believe what happened in the USA-Panama match. In the 18th minute, Tim Weah gets a red card. He literally punches a Panamanian player in the back of the head, and the ref saw it. Now, for those who have been following CONCACAF over the years, I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but Panama's a bit chippy. They try to get in your head and try to, you know, get you to do dumb stuff or aggravate you. But you can't do that.
No.
So you got to play 72 minutes plus stoppage time with just 10 guys. But the good news is they get an unbelievable goal from Faller and Balogun. I mean, we saw it was a golazo with 10 men. Panama comes back and then ties it. So it's here at 41st minute, and USA is going to have to hang on for a draw here, basically, Mercedes-Benz.
That's a shame because of the way that the match started. It looked promising,
right?
And then one of your players decides to go rogue and do something that affects the entire match. I mean, that's just what it is.
I'll ask Abe before when we do the handoff, because Abe's coming up. He's got a two-hour show tonight, 7 to 9. What do you think? Because that was always my – when I think about Panama, I think of, like, chippy style and get you to do stuff. Our interview with Zachary Risache, Orin's going to post that. That'll be up at Odyssey.com and at 92.9thegame.com. And Orin said it's up, so you go check it out. And, man, great job by Orin back at the ranch today. I do appreciate that. And thanks to Jersey Mike here at Hudson Grill. And we'll be back on the road at up the street in Buckhead. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead right off of Piedmont. That'll be coming up tomorrow, 2 to 7, so come join us. And I know that the Bravo's in action today. We talked about what a great job from Chris Sale. I didn't want to jinx it. Did you jinx it?
I might have. They lost 1-0. They didn't score. They had a half inning to get it done when we last checked in. They didn't get it done. But Chris Sale, 11 strikeouts. He just got no run support.
So are we back into the doldrums?
Well, we
have. I mean, because two of the three in St. Louis, the bats were ice cold, and you just got three hit by the White Sox.
Well, that's the problem.
And we were just chirping about, oh, White Sox, we're going to wipe the floor with these guys.
Well,
White Sox.
We thought so. But here's the problem, Mike. We're now a little bit shook because of what we've seen over the first 80 games of the season. That's the problem. We've seen them swoon so hard at certain times that anytime you have a little skid like this, it's going to have more. Like, if this happened last year, this is a brush-off game. Single game, you know, it had a wonky schedule.
So basically, this was a bullpen start. Kuehl, Anderson, Schuster, Brebbia, Kopech. So they had five guys.
Kuehl started, went three innings, and they had another guy come in and do another three innings.
All right.
And they looked like the second coming against us.
So, I mean, just when we're starting to feel, what's that line from Godfather? Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Yeah, just when you think the Braves are kind of, you know, finally getting the bat on the ball. Man, geez, Lou. I mean, I'm looking at the box score, and I'm sitting there because we were watching. We had three things going on at once, but three hit by the Shy Sox in that makeup game because of the weather on the south side.
They've played 79 games.
Yeah, they are what they are. But I do like what I've seen from Kelnick. I think that, you know, now Kelnick took an 0-for with a walk in this game in Chi-Town, but he's certainly done enough to make you feel better about the leadoff position. You just got to keep your head above water, stay above the surging Mets, you know, and the Cardinals and the other teams in the wild card, because you've got to find a way to be there and be relevant for Alex to go in at the trade deadline and try to pull a rabbit out of his hat the way he did in 21, actually more than that.
Yeah, you're going to need a couple of additions. We'll see if guys like Ramon Laureano have had a couple of big days. You're going to have to do something about Duvall, I think, Mike. He might have hit the cliff. He just looks absolutely lost at the plate. I know he's good to run into a home run every once in a while, but he does not look like the player that was mashing 30 or 40 a couple of years ago.
Hey, man, if you missed it, guess where LeBron James' kid went?
Ha!
Shocking. To the Lakers.
Really?
After his agent told everybody, if you draft him, he will play in Australia. But we didn't even find a job in Australia. Well, he's got a job with the Lakers, and everything worked out just the way we thought it would.
He could replace Alex Saar on the Perth Wildcats.
So, yeah, man, shock. L.A. landed it, but yeah, man. Yeah, that was one of those storylines where everybody was saying, well, hey, just draft Bronny, you'll automatically get LeBron. And then his agent said, don't even think about it.
And then tomorrow we'll hear that LeBron has signed a new four-year, $280 million contract with the Lakers.
Right. I mean, we literally had a bunch of guys, and I'm sure Abe was talking to some knuckleheads the last few nights about this, where guys are on the text line and everything else going, oh, man, we just draft. Guys, first off, Russell was never going to pay it. And there was always, you know, things at play. Now, I know some guys are going to say, well, how do the Falcons lose a draft pick for tampering and magically LeBron's son winds up with the Lakers?
Well,
number one, it's apples to pineapples, but still.
Here's the thing, Mike. You have to think about it from this perspective. Why would LeBron want to come here? We don't have enough. Like, yeah. LeBron is only going to a championship-ready team right now, of which we know the Atlanta Hawks are not. Sorry. Right. That's just the reality of it, Mike. I'm sorry.
All right, man. So we trade, for guys who missed it, we talked to Reese Hoshea earlier. We mentioned that. And then we basically trade a guy that I thought, you know, had a shot here, and he's got no shot. So that's it for A.J. Griffin. He winds up in Houston. And then we're able to convert that for a Serbian shooting guard that may or may not, according to ESPN, be drafted now.
Yeah, Nikola Jurušić. We may not have to learn his name after all, Mike Bell, as we've been stumbling and bumbling all over that this afternoon. Again, if you missed it, he's 6'7", 210, shooting guard, high upside, really came on at the end of last year. But, if I gave you one guess, what is his primary weakness, you would say?
Defense.
That's right, because that is the Atlanta Hawks mantra.
Well, that could be our ethos. No defense.
No defense.
We didn't play defense.
Might want to go resurrect Cotton Fitzsimmons, you know, or just run it and gun it, man, or go get Doug Moe on the phone. He's dead, too. I think he's dead.
The Pacers made it work last year.
I mean, we're a team. Yeah, see, they're like the better version of us.
Yeah.
They're like us with Pascal Siakam, where they can score 140 points, give up 138, and find a way to win.
Yeah. And that's essentially how they made it deep into the playoffs last year. But that's not a sustainable business model, as they like to say. But at the same time, you know, again, we're saying all of this tongue-in-cheek, everybody. Mike and I both know that this is going to be a long summer for the Atlanta Hawks. They're just getting started. They got a lot of moves to make. Reese Hoshea is a nice first move, but it can't be sit back and wait for things to come to you, as it has been the last couple of years, where the only thing you've done is move John Collins. You need to be the aggressor.
And as a talk show host, I apologize sometimes when I actually throw hope into the occasion. You know, I was hoping that Ritter could actually get it together and trusted the coach. If you're only going to use this guy for like one preseason game, he's ready to rock. I was kind of hoping that Ressler might say, you know, okay, let's spend a little bit this year. Let's, you know, I'm sick and tired of putting this, you know, this play-in game product out there. Let's go try to do something. And it's just not, I guess, I understand it's not technically good business, but it's not our money. Well, yes, it is. I go to 10 Hawks games a year, generally.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating because you just feel like, you know, can you do something in this next week? Well, guys, hey, you got to want to come here. You got to find, as you said, I give credit to Carl. Carl's been saying this all week. It's easier said than done to just start moving big pieces with big salaries. And DeJounte's not cheap, and Trey's even more expensive.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. That's why a lot of the times the NBA, Mike, I know you'll agree with me on this, when it comes to salaries, contracts, and trades, is the most convoluted league that we have going right now. MLS is actually up there too, actually, ironically, but less people pay attention to that when it comes down to it. But when the NBA comes across and you need to move a Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, more likely than not, there's a third team that's going to be involved.
You're right. That's a great point. Hey, man, Abe is working tonight. I know Abe is raring to go because he's always raring to go.
Yep.
Abe on stage with Tigger and Big Bob Rathbun last night at State Farm.
Yeah,
you have fun last night at the draft party, bro?
Yeah, you know what? I did. I was chatting with Bob most of the night, after the
You tell that Mike Bell to go straight to hell.
We had some fun.
No talent hack. Fun, you know. Can't stand that guy. Does a terrible impression of me.
I'll be honest, guys. I'm a little bummed out right now. I was on DJ Burns' watch, and I just found out that he's going to summer league ball with the Cavs, and I wanted him here. I wanted DJ Burns here.
Well, I mean, you talk about hope.
Yeah,
I
mean, he lost some weight. He said no to the NFL. He came here. He's a Southern guy.
That is a classic.
That was your
college
pet project. That was your pet project.
That's a classic.
Of all the things, I still wanted like a 7'2" guy with one eyebrow and no vowels. I guess we all have our own idea what the Hawks should be doing.
No, I mean, look, like everyone else, we're going to react to the Reese Hoshea pick and kind of get into it from that perspective. Also, take a look. All right, draft's over. DJ Burns isn't coming here. Bronny's not coming here. And a bunch of other talented guys aren't coming here.
How about Bronny's agent saying he'll go to Australia?
I don't know if it's illegal. It seems like...
It doesn't seem shady, though.
If this was the law, it feels like you'd be disbarred for that.
Well, you and I were just talking. I don't know if I'm sure you heard it. We were saying the Falcons lose a 5th-round pick because a guy talked to a guy after he was pretty much assumed he was coming here, and you had to tell an agent, nobody can touch this guy. He'll go to Australia, and he winds up at his dad's team.
Well, here's the problem, Mike, is I kind of wanted someone to call the bluff and take him, but Rich Paul has so many significant NBA clients.
He's got more juice than other
I don't
goose.
Know if you can take that risk and lose out down the road, and so that's why – you can make that simple statement, whether it's true or not, about going to Australia, and it holds firm. But it feels grimy.
Hey, man, what you got coming up tonight, 7 to 9?
Yeah, we're going to talk also about, like, the draft's over. So what's left to accomplish this season? But starting with the priority, what is the number one priority for the Atlanta Hawks now? I think Chris has been kind of all over it since they didn't draft Sarr. You have got to get size. I got one or two names I want to focus on and see. You might have to pay. They might not be willing, but we'll talk about that.
Well, that's just it. Just stop that. I can stop that conversation for you right now. They won't be willing to pay.
It's going to be a short segment.
Yeah, I was going to say. And I don't know if you caught the last few minutes. I was just saying I'm trying to sell a little hope, but it just seems like if past is prologue, Ressler's not coming on to the luxury tax. He's just not going to do it. So we'll stay tuned, man. Hey, thanks to Lauren Williams, who joined us earlier today. Also, Caleb Johnson was down there at Hawks headquarters last night. Of course, we got to speak to our new first-round pick, Zachary Risache, as Oren posted. It's online at 929thegame.com. All right, man, let's get out of here and clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow, guys, Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Chris, what you got on the program tomorrow? You booked it.
Yeah, we'll obviously cut up some of that Zachary Risache interview for you guys to hear about his thoughts on coming to Atlanta. We'll play some of that for those who missed it. We'll have our good buddy Danny Vietti on. What's going on with these Braves, man? We'll get a national perspective on that. Steve Koonin set to is he going to be fat and happy tomorrow, you would think, after getting Risache. And then Grant will check in ahead of a very important, sneaky, tough Pittsburgh Pirates series.
Yeah, man. I know we've been talking a lot about – are we going to see Skeens in this series?
I believe we are.
And that's a show because that is the new Spencer Strider. That's the new news. Hey, man, let's get out of here. What do you got? Clear your throat.
All right, here's the thing. The Atlanta Hawks made what could wind up being the most important selection in the draft in team's history based on what happens over the next 5 to 10 years. But here's my question. How long does Trey believe in this team to put together a program that's going to win a championship?
Get me out of here.
He has to have a very serious, maybe already had it, with Landry Fields and ownership about the direction of the franchise. My question to you, Mike Bell, is he in or is he out?
I don't blame him. I think he wants to be a winner and he wants to be there in his prime and build his brand. It's a great question. Hey, man, look. It is what it is. You know, the AAU can put some great guys in John Calipari. Well, used to put guys in Calipari's squad in Kentucky and other basketball factories. France is the new news. There's more fundamentals. I mean, think about that, guys. Four guys in the top 10 from France.
Yep.
I mean, I know in the past we used to joke around. Hell, even we see Braves doing the Euro step going around third base. We see that with Marcell Ozuna. I mean, maybe you teach your kids fundamentals, the intermediate jump shot, a little bit of defense. They're doing that in France, and that seems like a nice way to get to the NBA. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
your loud ass bus broke down in front of Hudson Grill for an hour today.
Come on.
My goodness.
Cobb Link, figure that out. Chris Thomas filling in for Carl today. We're live here at Hudson Grill, downtown Atlanta. After getting a little bit of rain, which we need, here, I sound like my dad, it is sunshining in parts of the A. Traffic's going to be the story tonight. So if you're where you're at, you're fine. Presidential debate up at Techwood, not here at CNN Center, but up the road. It was down here. I couldn't even imagine with the match going on at Mercedes-Benz. Real quick, you're not going to believe what happened in the USA-Panama match. In the 18th minute, Tim Weah gets a red card. He literally punches a Panamanian player in the back of the head, and the ref saw it. Now, for those who have been following CONCACAF over the years, I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but Panama's a bit chippy. They try to get in your head and try to, you know, get you to do dumb stuff or aggravate you. But you can't do that.
No.
So you got to play 72 minutes plus stoppage time with just 10 guys. But the good news is they get an unbelievable goal from Faller and Balogun. I mean, we saw it was a golazo with 10 men. Panama comes back and then ties it. So it's here at 41st minute, and USA is going to have to hang on for a draw here, basically, Mercedes-Benz.
That's a shame because of the way that the match started. It looked promising,
right?
And then one of your players decides to go rogue and do something that affects the entire match. I mean, that's just what it is.
I'll ask Abe when we do the handoff, because Abe's coming up. He's got a two-hour show tonight, 7 to 9. What do you think? Because that was always my – when I think about Panama, I think of, like, chippy style and get you to do stuff. Our interview with Zachary Risache, Oren's going to post that. That'll be up at Odyssey.com and at 929thegame.com. And Oren said it's up, so you go check it out. And, man, great job by Oren back at the ranch today. I do appreciate that. And thanks to Jersey Mike here at Hudson Grill. And we'll be back on the road at up the street in Buckhead. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, right off of Piedmont. That'll be coming up tomorrow, 2 to 7, so come join us. And I know that the Bravo's in action today. We talked about what a great job from Chris Sale. I didn't want to jinx it. Did you jinx it?
I might have. They lost 1-0. They didn't score. They had a half inning to get it done when we last checked in. They didn't get it done. But Chris Sale, 11 strikeouts. He just got no run support.
So are we back into the doldrums?
Well, I mean,
because two of the three in St. Louis, the bats were ice cold, and you just got three hit by the White Sox.
Well, that's the problem.
And
right?
We were just chirping about, oh, White Sox, we're going to wipe the floor with these guys.
Well,
White Sox.
We thought so, but here's the problem, Mike. We're now a little bit shook because of what we've seen over the first 80 games of the season. That's the problem. We've seen them swoon so hard at certain times that anytime you have a little skid like this, it's going to have more. Like, if this happened last year, this is a brush-off game. Single game, you know, it had a wonky schedule.
So basically, this was a bullpen start. Kuehl, Anderson, Schuster, Brebbia, Kopech. So they had five guys.
Kuehl started, went three innings, and they had another guy come in and do another three innings.
All right.
And they looked like the second coming against us.
So, I mean, just when we're starting to feel, what's that line from Godfather? Just when I thought I was out, they pulled
me back in.
Yeah, just when you think the Braves are kind of, you know, finally getting the bat on the ball. Man, geez, Lou. I mean, I'm looking at the box score, and I'm sitting here because we were watching. We had three things going on at once, but three hit by the Shy Sox in that makeup game because of the weather on the south side.
They've played 79 games.
Yeah, they are what they are. But I do like what I'm seeing from Kelnick. I think that, you know, now Kelnick took an 0-for with a walk in this game in Chi-Town, but he's certainly done enough to make you feel better about the leadoff position. You just got to keep your head above water, stay above the surging Mets,
oy.
You know, and the Cardinals and the other teams in the wild card, because you've got to find a way to be there and be relevant for Alex to go in at the trade deadline and try to pull a rabbit out of his hat the way he did in 21, actually more than that.
Yeah, you're going to need a couple of additions. We'll see if guys like Ramon Laureano have had a couple of big days. You're going to have to do something about Duvall, I think, Mike. He might have hit the cliff. He just looks absolutely lost at the plate. I know he's good to run into a home run every once in a while, but he does not look like the player that was mashing 30 or 40 a couple of years ago.
Hey, man, if you missed it, guess where LeBron James' kid went?
Ha!
Shocking. To the Lakers.
Really?
After his agent told everybody, if you draft him, he will play in Australia. But would he even find a job in Australia? Well, he's got a job with the Lakers, and everything worked out just the way we thought it would.
He could replace Alex Saar on the Perth Wildcats.
So, yeah, man, shocked L.A. landed it. But, yeah, man, yeah, that was one of those storylines where everybody was saying, well, hey, just draft Bronny, you'll automatically get LeBron. And then his agent said, don't even think about it.
And then tomorrow we'll hear that LeBron has signed a new four-year, $280 million contract with the Lakers.
Right. I mean, we literally had a bunch of guys, and I'm sure Abe was talking to some knuckleheads the last few nights about this, where guys are on the text line and everything else going, oh, man, we just draft. Guys, first off, Russell was never going to pay it. And there was always, you know, things at play. Now, I know some guys are going to say, well, how do the Falcons lose a draft pick for tampering and magically LeBron's son winds up with the Lakers?
Well,
number one, it's apples to pineapples, but
right.
Still.
Here's the thing, Mike. You have to think about it from this perspective. Why would LeBron want to come here? We don't have enough. Like, yeah. LeBron is only going to a championship-ready team right now, of which we know the Atlanta Hawks are not. Sorry.
Right.
That's just the reality of it, Mike. I'm sorry.
All right, man. So we trade. For you guys who missed it, we talked to Reese Hoshea earlier. We mentioned that. And then we basically trade a guy that I thought, you know, had a shot here, and he's got no shot. So that's it for A.J. Griffin. He winds up in Houston. And then we're able to convert that for a Serbian shooting guard that may or may not, according to ESPN, be drafted now.
Yeah, Nikola Jurušić. We may not have to learn his name after all, Mike Bell, as we've been stumbling and bumbling all over that this afternoon. Again, if you missed it, he's 6'7", 210, shooting guard, high upside, really came on at the end of last year. But, if I gave you one guess, what is his primary weakness, you would say?
Defense.
That's right, because that is the Atlanta Hawks mantra.
Well, that could be our ethos. No defense.
No defense.
We didn't play defense.
Might want to go resurrect Cotton Fitzsimmons, you know, or just run it and gun it, man, or go get Doug Moe on the phone. He's dead, too. I think he's dead.
The Pacers made it work last year.
I mean, we're a team. Yeah, see, they're like the better version of us.
Yeah.
They're like us with Pascal Siakam, where they can score 140 points, give up 138, and find a way to win.
Yeah. And that's essentially how they made it deep into the playoffs last year. But that's not a sustainable business model, as they like to say. But
right.
At the same time, you know, again, we're saying all of this tongue-in-cheek, everybody. Mike and I both know that this is going to be a long summer for the Atlanta Hawks. They're just getting started. They got a lot of moves to make. Reese Shea is a nice first move, but it can't be sit back and wait for things to come to you, as it has been the last couple of years, where the only thing you've done is move John Collins. You need to be the aggressor.
And as a talk show host, I apologize sometimes when I actually throw hope into the occasion. You know, I was hoping that Ritter could actually get it together and trusted the coach. If you're only going to use this guy for like one preseason game, he's ready to rock. I was kind of hoping that Ressler might say, you know, okay, let's spend a little bit this year. Let's, you know, I'm sick and tired of putting this, you know, this play-in game product out there. Let's go try to do something. And it's just not, I guess, I understand it's not technically good business, but it's not our money. Well, yes, it is. I go to 10 Hawks games a year, generally.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating because you just feel like, you know, can you do something in this next week? Well, guys, A, you got to want to come here. You got to find, as you said, I give credit to Carl. Carl's been saying this all week. It's easier said than done to just start moving big pieces with big salaries. And DeJounte's not cheap, and Trey's even more expensive.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. That's why a lot of the times, the NBA, Mike, I know you'll agree with me on this, when it comes to salaries, contracts, and trades, is the most convoluted league that we have going right now. MLS is actually up there too, actually, ironically, but less people pay attention to that when it comes down to it. But when the NBA comes across and you need to move a Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, more likely than not, there's a third team that's going to be involved.
You're right. That's a great point. Hey, man, Abe is working tonight. I know Abe is raring to go because he's always raring to go.
Yep.
Abe on stage with Tigger and Big Bob Rafflin last night at State Farm.
Yeah,
you have fun last night at the draft party, bro?
Yeah, you know what? I did. I was chatting with Bob most of the night, after the
You tell that Mike Bell to go straight to hell.
We had some fun.
No talent hack. Fun, you know. Can't stand that guy. Does a terrible impression of me.
I'll be honest, guys. I'm a little bummed out right now. I was on DJ Burns' watch, and I just found out that he's going to summer league ball with the Cavs, and I wanted him here. I wanted DJ Burns here.
Well, I mean, you talk about hope.
Yeah.
I
mean, he lost some weight. He said no to the NFL. He came here. He's a Southern guy.
That is a classic.
That was your
college
pet project. That was your pet project.
That's a classic novelty.
Of all the things, I still wanted like a 7'2" guy with one eyebrow and no vowels. I guess we all have our own idea what the Hawks should be doing.
No, I mean, look, like everyone else, we're going to react to the Reese Shea pick and kind of get into it from that perspective. Also, take a look. All right, draft's over. DJ Burns isn't coming here. Bronny's not coming here. And a bunch of other talented guys aren't coming here.
How about Bronny's agent saying he'll go to Australia?
I don't know if it's illegal. It seems like...
It doesn't seem shady, though.
If this was the law, it feels like you'd be disbarred for that.
Well, you and I were just talking. I don't know if I'm sure you heard it. We were saying the Falcons lose a 5th-round pick because a guy talked to a guy after he was pretty much assumed he was coming here, and you had to tell an agent nobody can touch this guy. He'll go to Australia, and he winds up at his dad's team.
Well, here's the problem, Mike, is I kind of wanted someone to call the bluff and take him, but Rich Paul has so many significant NBA clients.
He's got more juice than other
I don't know if you can take that risk and lose out down the road, and so that's why. You can make that simple statement, whether it's true or not, about going to Australia, and it holds firm. But it feels grimy.
Hey, man, what you got coming up tonight, 7 to 9?
Yeah, we're going to talk also about, the draft's over. So what's left to accomplish this season? But starting with the priority, what is the number one priority for the Atlanta Hawks now? I think Chris has been kind of all over that since they didn't draft Sarr. You have got to get size. I got one or two names I want to focus on and see. You might have to pay. They might not be willing, but we'll talk about that.
Well, that's just it. Just stop that. I can stop that conversation for you right now. They won't be willing to pay.
It's going to be a short segment.
Yeah, I was going to say. And I don't know if you caught the last few minutes. I was just saying I'm trying to sell a little hope, but it just seems like if past is prologue, Ressler's not coming on to the luxury tax. He's just not going to do it. So we'll stay tuned, man. Hey, thanks to Lauren Williams, who joined us earlier today. Also, Caleb Johnson was down there at Hawks headquarters last night. Of course, we got to speak to our new first-round pick, Zachary Risache, as Oren posted. It's online at 929thegame.com. All right, man, let's get out of here and clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow, guys, Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Chris, what you got on the program tomorrow? You booked it.
Yeah, we'll obviously cut up some of that Zachary Risache interview for you guys to hear about his thoughts on coming to Atlanta. We'll play some of that for those who missed it. We'll have our good buddy Danny Vietti on. What's going on with these Braves, man? We'll get a national perspective on that. Steve Koonin set to is he going to be fat and happy tomorrow, you would think, after getting Risache. And then Grant will check in ahead of a very important, sneaky, tough Pittsburgh Pirates series.
Yeah, man. I know we've been talking a lot about – are we going to see Skeens in this series?
I believe we are.
And that's a show because that is the new Spencer Strider. That's the new news. Hey, man, let's get out of here. What do you got? Clear your throat.
All right, here's the thing. The Atlanta Hawks made what could wind up being the most important selection in the draft in team's history based on what happens over the next 5 to 10 years. But here's my question. How long does Trey believe in this team to put together a program that's going to win a championship?
Get me out of here.
He has to have a very serious, maybe already had it, with Landry Fields and ownership about the direction of the franchise. My question to you, Mike Bell, is he in or is he out?
I don't blame him. I think he wants to be a winner and he wants to be there in his prime and build his brand. It's a great question. Hey, man, look. It is what it is. You know, the AAU can put some great guys in John Calipari. Well, used to put guys in Calipari's squad in Kentucky and other basketball factories. France is the new news. There's more fundamentals. I mean, think about that, guys. 4 guys in the top 10 from France.
Yep.
I mean, I know in the past we used to joke around. Hell, even we see Braves doing the Euro step going around third base. We see that with Marcell Ozuna. I mean, maybe you teach your kids fundamentals, the intermediate jump shot, a little bit of defense. They're doing that in France, and that seems like a nice way to get to the NBA. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
your loud ass bus broke down in front of Hudson Grill for an hour today.
Come on.
My goodness.
Cobb Link, figure that out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.